making a moral use of our memory. We have had two lessons so far, and today is the third lesson. The emphasis on the first and second lesson was taking heed what we hear. Taking heed in reference to what we hear. This was from the mouth of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 4, and especially verse 24. Now, you and I live especially in a time of disinformation, misinformation. We live in a time, especially now, in a time of what is sometimes referred to as fake news. We live in a time where a lot of lies and falsehood are coming our way from various directions. They are coming to us from the political direction, from the social direction, from the medical direction, from the financial direction, from the spiritual and religious direction. So this is why when Jesus Christ encouraged us in the passage of Mark 4:24 to take heed what we hear, Jesus Christ was perfectly right. It is on that ground we are encouraged not to be gullible people. The Bible tells us that we should sift. We should, when we hear anything, process it before we digest it, before we accept it. You know, there's a passage in John that we should not believe every spirit, but try the spirit whether they be are of God or not. That passage is but one telling us that we should be discriminating listeners. That was the first and second lesson, the emphasis in today's lesson. The third lesson is on the how of your hearing Christ's word. Remember, the first one deal with the what. So we have had two lessons on that. The third lesson now will deal with the how of your listening. That is, what kind of listener are you? Can you imagine Jesus Christ taking interest in that? But you see, if you are not a careful listener, you will listen to a million message and never learn anything. So this is why Jesus Christ encourages us in reference to how we hear his word. What kind of listener are you? Let us hear it in the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 18. Luke 8:18.
Take heed, therefore, how ye hear.
Take heed how you hear. That's Jesus Christ. You think he would be satisfied in emphasizing what we hear, but that is not sufficient. Christ says, take heed how you hear. And remember, the idea there is, what kind of listener are you? Wait. In this very passage, Luke chapter 8, in this very text, we are given Jesus Christ's first parable. The first time Jesus Christ ever taught using a figure of speech parable is found in this passage. It's found here in Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 8, and continue from verse 11 through verse 15. That's the first time in Christ's earthly ministry that he's going to teach using parable. But watch here. The subject under consideration in this parable is the hearing of God's word. That's what this parable deals with. Remember, I've stated this is Christ's first parable. There are many, many parables in Christ's ministry, but this is the first one. First time he has ever taught by parable. And you know what it deals with? How men and women listen to God's word. So it must have been an important subject for Jesus Christ to have placed so much emphasis on it. Look here. In this parable, Jesus Christ informed us. Jesus Christ warned us. Are you all there? That there are three bad ways to hear God's word. And that there is one good way to hear God's word. That's right. Right in this parable found in Luke chapter 8. Three bad ways of hearing Christ's word as against one good way in which you can hear God's word. Wait, watch here now. There is not a grown man or woman in this audience who do not come under one of these headings. You notice how the baby crying intelligently? So thank the baby for helping us to get back to the lesson. That's right. May I? There is no person in this audience, grown man or woman, who does not fall in one of these categories. Let me just run down the three. Well, I'm going to run down all four of them. First, in Luke chapter 4, verse 12, Jesus Christ points out there in that verse that there is first the careless hearer of God's word, the careless. That is the person who hear the word that fall by the wayside. That's the careless listener of God's word. Then in verse 13, there is the rapturous hearer of God's word. Who is that? The emotional hearer of God's word. The man or the woman who puts a lot of feeling in hearing God's word. But watch here, watch here, watch here. That's not one of the good listeners. The person who is an emotional hearer of God's word. That is found in verse 13. The rapturous hearer. Then thirdly, there is the careworn. The person who has so much worldly care that when that person hear God's word, the person is so preoccupied by secular worldly things that the person cannot absorb God's truth. That is dealt with in verse 15. Verse 14, rather. The person who is overly preoccupied with worldly things. And then, last but not least, there is the honest and good-hearted hearer of God's word. That is dealt with in verse 15. What did I say? I said that in this parable, Jesus Christ tells us that there are three bad ways to hear God's word, and that there is one good way to hear God's word. And I've just pointed out that every one of us, every grown adult in this audience today, comes under one of these headings. Are you a careless hearer of God's word? The word that fall by the wayside, are you a rapturous hearer of God's word? The person who hear God's word with a lot of emotion? Are you a careworn? Are you one of those persons who is so preoccupied with the worldly things that God's word never get to grow inside of you and produce what Christ wants? What type of hearer are you? Or are you the honest, good-hearted hearer? As I've said, brothers and sisters, every responsible adult in this audience fits into one of these four categories, everyone. I have some other news here, very important to each one of us. I have to take a station break to get this news to you. And that is, while every man, every woman within the reach of my voice and beyond falls under one of these four categories, here is another important point. Every time we hear Christ's word, every time we are confronted by Christ's word, our character is under examination. I mean every time. Without exception. Wait, wait. Every time you or I, any man or woman is exposed to God's word, our character is being tested, examined by the Almighty God. Every time. Wait, Brother Mitchell, say more on that. Thank you for asking me. No man ever just walk away from God's word. That's right. You want me to back that up with passages? Yes, there are many passages. But let me repeat it. No man ever listened to God's word. Is it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? And you just walk away the same way? No. Once you or I are exposed to God's word, when we walk away from it, the Almighty God would have judged us by our response to his word. But you say, Brother Mitchell, me hear God's word many times and I didn't respond. Who tell you say you never respond? That's what you think. That's what you think. The Almighty God has keen interest in how every hearer of his word react to it. You may sit through a lesson for 45 minutes, an hour, or more, and the lesson finish, and everybody get up and gone. And you feel that, well, I hear a lesson and I didn't do anything. Yes, you did something about it. Because when God's word is preached or taught, it's not just you and the person who preach it or taught it. You have the Almighty God has keen interest in how you respond to it. Are we all there? Are we all there? And that is without exception. God's word is the touchstone of human character. In the most profound way, it always has an effect on you one way or the other. Listen, one or two passages here. First, turn to Isaiah chapter 8. In fact, here is a translation. I don't know if you want to read Viv or somebody, any one of you brothers, read it from that. In fact, what I'm going to do, your Michael and your brother Webb, let us hear it from the King James, and then we hear it from the translation that Brother Vivian has in his hand, Isaiah 8, 13 through 15. That God's word is a touchstone of human character. Every time you and I are exposed to God's word, our character is under examination all the time, without exception. Let us hear the passage of Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13, 14, and 15.
Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread.
Mm-hmm. Let God be your fear, let God be your dread. Read.
And he shall be for a sanctuary.
God shall be for a sanctuary, that is a place you can hide.
But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense.
Notice, he's also not a sanctuary, he's a stone of stumbling.
And for a rock.
A rock of offense.
To both the house of Israel.
To both the house of Israel.
For a gin.
Mm-hmm.
And for a snare.
Uh-huh.
To the inhabitants.
I don't know if you notice, when Brother Norman read now, you're going to hear it from express in different way. And that is, to men and women who respond positively to hearing God's word, God will be like a refuge. To men and women who listen to God's word and feel, well, I heard God's word, no big thing. Now, the Almighty God himself responds to you differently. Let us hear it, brother.
The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one you are to fear.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one you are to dread.
Mm-hmm.
He will be a holy place for both Israel and Judah.
He will be. That is when you fear him, when you dread him. He will be the one that will be your security, in other words. Read on.
He will be a stone that causes people to stumble.
No, that's a different. No, don't move from the passage. Now, what this verse the brother is reading is doing is dealing now with people who respond to him negatively. Read that again, brother.
He will be a stone.
He will be a stone
that causes people to stumble.
That caused people to stumble.
And a rock.
And a rock
that makes them fall.
That make them fall. Wait. God, remember, for to some, is like the rock that you can hide in or find shelter. That is when you respond to his word positively, obediently. But when you respond to his word with disobedience and defiance, he will be the rock that caused you to stumble. Read, brother.
And for the people of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
He will be a trap and a snare.
He will be a what? A trap?
And a snare.
And a snare? Brothers and sisters, this is dealing with the fact that no man or woman ever listened to God's word and walk away the same. You cannot, even when you think you do. God's word is the touchstone of human character in the most profound, that is, in the deepest sense. What verse you are, brother?
15.
You finish 15?
Beginning. Many of them will stumble.
Mm-hmm.
They will fall and be broken.
Mm-hmm.
They will be snared and mm-hmm. captured. End of 15.
Turn to another passage in the book of Peter, brother. That is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 8. Dealing with the same principle. That no man or woman ever walk away from God's word and remain the same in God's sight. Let us hear 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 8.
For the scripture, it says,
mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
I lay a stone in Zion.
That stone is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. A chosen and precious cornerstone.
He's a chosen cornerstone. He's a precious cornerstone.
And the one who trusts in him.
Notice, the one that is those who trust in him.
Will never be put to shame.
Will never be put to shame. But he's not finished.
Now to you who believe. This stone is precious.
This stone, that is Jesus. Wait. You see, when you talk about this stone, Jesus Christ, it's talking not only about Christ, but Jesus Christ and his teaching, his word, his doctrine, his way of life, Christianity. This stone is what, brother?
Precious.
That is to those who believe, to those who love the word, to those who obey the word, is precious.
But to those who
wait. You notice the but presenting a contrast. But,
To those who do not believe.
To those who do not believe. you see, you think when you hear God's word, a lesson is taught, and well, you like what the preacher says, but it doesn't affect you one way or the other. You're wrong. It affects you one way or the other, always. That's what passage like this is teaching. It is presenting to us those who believe, and the brother is now dealing in the passage with those who do not believe. What it says?
But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble.
A stone that causes men and women to stumble. That is to those who do not believe. When you hear people arguing about God's word and you are telling them they must be baptized to be saved. They believe differently. You see, they and God slept last night. And while they and God were in bed at talk, God revealed something to them. So when you tell them you must believe and repent and get baptized, they know something else. They will argue and they will leave vexed. Brothers and sisters, you never listen to God's word and walk away from it and look the same in God's sight. Never. None of us. You always make a response. God's word is like that. It always solicits a response. Even when you or I do not know that we have responded to it. You do. Read on, brother.
And a rock that makes them fall.
It's a rock that makes them fall. What verse is that?
Still 8. They stumble.
They stumble.
Because they disobey.
You hear? Your very disobedience. The privilege you have of listening to Jesus' teaching and walk away from it without making a decision, that tells God something about your character. Anything else there, brother?
Which is also what they were destined for.
That's right. That's right. Brothers and sisters, remember the point we are on here? No man ever listen to God's word and walk away looking the same in God's sight. God's word always solicits a response. Whether you and I know it or not, and the two passages read, the one in Isaiah, the one in Peter, and many other passages dealing with that. May I? Because of the worth, because of the value, because of the pricelessness, because of the importance of Christ and the gospel, it should be heard, it should be listened to with interest, with intelligence. It should be listened to with receptiveness. It should be listened to with anticipation. Always. Because of its worth. Because of its value. Because of its pricelessness. Don't ever treat God's word like it is man's word. Don't ever take the gospel of Jesus Christ for granted. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. Matthew chapter 13, 44 through 46. And 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Let us hear. And these passages are telling us about the pricelessness, the worth, the value, the importance, the significance of Christ's word. Let us hear it. Matthew 13, 44 through 46.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden of
friendly. Wait. The kingdom of heaven is referring to the church which Christ has built, his church. Kingdom. It has in focus where someone reign or rule. The church is the institution in which Jesus Christ ruled. The Bible is our constitution from God. That's what guides the church. Now, mark you, beyond judgment, the church would have reached its glorified state. It has not yet reached there. Christ is working on us now to get us there. So when the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, it's talking about the institution where men and women give Jesus Christ the chance to rule and reign in their lives. That's what Christianity is about. It's about the rule of God, the rule of Christ. Start the passage again. Did I say? Luke. Matthew chapter
13,
verse 44 through 46. Let us hear it.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure
hidden. Like unto what, brother?
Treasure hidden a field. The which, when a man hath
found. Wait, it's like a treasure hidden in
a field.
A field. Watch here. Read.
The which, when a man hath found, he hideth. And for
when joy, a man found the treasure, he hid it.
And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath.
And you get the drift here? He hid the treasure. He didn't tell anybody about it. He went and sold some of what he had.
All.
Huh?
All.
All that he had to buy that little piece of land where the treasure was. Read now, brother, where you stop for.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man.
No, but why don't you read the last part of what you have just read?
He hideth.
He hid it.
And for joy, thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field.
And buy the field. He didn't just sell some of what he had. So important, so priceless, so valuable is that treasure that it demanded that he sold all that he had. You know what? That was talk about Christianity. The church, the gospel, that's the treasure. Jesus Christ. It's worth all that we have. Look, that was verse 44. Look at verse 45 or 40. Read.
Again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man.
Like unto a merchant man.
Seeking goodly pearls.
He's looking goodly pearls. Diamond and all of that. Read.
Who? When he had found one pearl.
How many?
One pearl.
He found one. Watch here now.
One pearl of great price.
Of great price.
He went. And sold all he had.
Here again, for the one pearl, he sold not some, not 80, 90, 95%, but he sold all that he had. And what he did?
And bought it.
And he bought that one pearl. You know what that is all about? The pricelessness of Christianity, the pricelessness of the gospel of Christ, the pricelessness of being a part of the church of Christ, the pricelessness of being a child of God, when you become obedient to the gospel, all of that is tied up in that priceless diamond or pearl. Look. That was verse 46. Look at Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Let us hear it.
But we have this treasure.
We have this what?
Treasure.
Uh-huh.
In earthen vessels.
Wait, take time. Wait. Yeah? Sometime the very contents of something valuable can be misleading. Rather, the very container. That's right. Yes, my grandparents and they used trade bag to carry their money. And if you ever see them trade bags sometime, you pick up a million of them and throw them away because they are dirty, they look rugged, but a lot of time they are full of money. That's right. You see, this treasure is in earthen vessels. Wait. That treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what this passage is implying is that God did not vest it in angel. It is vested in human being. Earthen vessel. But you know what? It is still a treasure. That's the gospel, you know. Yes, we are at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Let us hear it again.
But we have this treasure.
We have this treasure.
In earthen vessels.
In earthen vessels. Wait. Angels were not sent to preach the gospel. We human beings were given the responsibility to preach the gospel. We are the one that the passage referred to as earthen vessel. We are vessel of the earth. God would have it no other way. But that does not diminish the pricelessness, the worth, the significance, the importance of the message that we bring to you. We have this treasure in earthen vessel.
That the excellency of the poor may be of God.
That the excellency, you know, how can the Almighty God have vested such valuable, priceless thing in us worthless human beings? God would have it no other way. But you know what? It is still a treasure. It is still priceless, valueless, and significant. Not only that. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Remember the point we are coming from, that the gospel, because of its worth, its value, its pricelessness, and its importance, the gospel should be heard with interest, with intelligence, with receptiveness, and with anticipation. Let us hear Thessalonians first. Chapter 2, verse 13.
For this cause also thank we God.
For this cause also we thank God.
Without ceasing.
We thank God without stopping.
Because when ye received the word of God.
Because you at Thessalonica. When you receive God's word, watch here. You receive it having in mind the worth that it is. You receive it recognizing the value that God's word is. You receive it acknowledging the pricelessness and the importance and the significance of God's word. And for that reason, you receive it not
as the word of men.
Wait. We must never equate God's word with man's word. It stands so much above man's word, whoever that man or woman is. And it is for this reason Paul was giving thanks for the Christian in Thessalonica, that they knew how to appreciate and show the reverence to God's word that it deserves. Can I march down to closing my lesson? What, you want me to preach until tonight? Okay, let us get down to where we come to the end of this lesson. May I hear some other very important news in reference to this lesson? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, merely hearing God's word, merely hearing God's word, or merely receiving Jesus' truth is not the important factor. Everything depends on how you hear it. That's right. Everything depends on how God's word is received. Everything depends on how, not only how it is received, how it is retained. How it is retained. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. We are back in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Let us hear it.
But that on the good ground.
That on the good ground.
Are they. Which in an honest and good heart.
Wait. In what type of heart, brother?
An honest and good heart.
You see, this is edging towards how the word is received. And this is telling you the type of soil, the type of heart, the type of mind on which God's word will produce good result. Read that again, brother.
Which in an honest and good heart.
Good heart.
Having heard the word.
Wait, they heard the word.
Keep it.
What?
Keep it.
What?
Keep it.
So, brother, it's not sufficient to hear the word. Huh? You have to hear it and keep it. So the big thing is not hearing God's word. Matthew, that is important. But as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, the word must be retained. Keep it, read on, brother.
And bring forth fruit.
Wait. The word must not only be heard, it must not only be kept, it must be productive in us. Lord of mercy. It must be productive in us. It must produce something in all of us. look, let me rush. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Still on the fact that the important thing is not just hearing the word. It must be retained and it must produce something good in you. Let us hear Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, mm-hmm. we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things.
What kind of heed?
Earnest.
What kind of heed?
Earnest.
So when you hear God's word, you mustn't just listen so. You know, country people say gallant so. You see, you have to give a particular type of heed. Earnest heed to the things which you have heard. And so important it is that the Almighty God in this passage is implying you should not let anything be forgotten. You hear it? Let the brother read it.
Lest at any time we should let them slip.
What is the implication? Don't let. When you hear God's truth, so valuable, so important, so priceless it is, that you should strive to retain as much of God's truth as you can. The rest of the verse following go on to tell us its importance, and it deals with it in a comparative way, but because time is going, Acts of the Apostles 17:11.
These were more noble.
These were more noble
than those in Thessalonica.
Uh-huh.
In that they received the word with all readiness of mind.
Brother Wilson, you see, that is dealing with how they heard the word. Your daddy thinks he is the only Wilson in my place. But you see, that's right. Yeah, that is dealing, let me hear again. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
In that they received the word with all readiness of mind.
Wait, that readiness of mind is telling how they heard the word. That's what this lesson is about. That just merely listening to God's word is not sufficient. How do you listen to it? With interest? With carefulness? With reverence for the word? With a desire to learning the will of God? Lord have mercy, we do not have the time this morning to deal with inattentiveness. It's a part of this lesson. But we won't have time to deal with it. When you bring inattentive mind and vacant heart to Christ's word, then our heart will still be vacant more and empty, and our mind will still be inattentive. When we come to God's word and we do not pay attention, it doesn't matter how much you hear, you won't learn anything. But you know what? I'll have to undertake this. There's a few more thoughts, but we can't deal with it today. I may address them tonight. That is the type of disposition that we come to God's word with. Don't ever come to God's word with mind and heart that is inattentive. You are not receptive. You are not careful in listening. No, don't come to God's word like that. Brothers and sisters, the other point that was meant to be a part of this lesson is that the Bible teaches it that we lose power or ability when you and I listen to God's word with inattentiveness, we lose the power and the ability to learn and to retain the truth. When we listen to God's word with attentiveness, our power of retention and our ability is strengthened. I may say more about that tonight. Suffice it to say, as I close, it's not sufficient to hear God's word. You must hear God's word with attentiveness. You must hear God's word with reverence for it. You must hear God's word with interest. You must hear God's word with anticipation. Don't ever be a careless listener to the word of the Almighty God. It is too valuable, priceless, and precious to be heard in that fashion. So, today, what type of listener were you as you listen to this lesson, as you listen to the various passages that were read? What type of listener are you? You have learned that no man ever walk away looking the same in God's sight when you have heard his word. Never. God's word is the touchstone of human character. Every time you hear God's word, you are judged. Your character is judged, not by your fellow human being, but by the Almighty God. Every time. Because the response that God expects is that when you hear his everlasting truth, you will want to become obedient to it. That you did not respond to it in obedience doesn't mean you have not made a decision. So let's hope today you would have made the right decision. That right now, as we plan and prepare to sing an invitation song, you would have made the decision that you want to be a honest heart on which the word of God found fertile soil. You did not only hear it, you retain it, and you permit it to grow and germinate in your heart to produce faith and obedience. You can become a child of God today, having listened to the word of Jesus Christ. We are going to stand and sing. To become a child of God, the New Testament way, the Bible's way, the only right way, you must hear Jesus Christ's word, that he died for you. He was the Son of God. When he died on the cruel cross of Calvary, it was your sin that sent him there. You must believe that to the extent you want to turn your life over to Christ. You want to turn your life over to Christ in obedience. And that obedience starts with your faith. Then you will repent. That is all the wrong things you recognize in your life. You will make a decision now to turn from them. Having repented, you will be willing to confess faith in Jesus Christ. Put another way, you will not be ashamed of Christ. Having confessed his name, you will be baptized. Wait. Bible's baptism is not sprinkling. It never was, it never will be. Neither is it confirmation. Bible's baptism is a burial in water. So the Bible tells us that we are buried with him by baptism. And you must be baptized in order to have the blood of Jesus Christ work on all your passing. As we stand,